Now, I want to tell you that I was slightly delayed this morning because in Levels it was snowing so hard and there was so much snow coming down. I thought, well, I'll get in my car and go anyway. Well, the first thing I came to was a tree in the road on Okanoku. And I thought, oh no, how am I going to get around? So I slowly maneuvered my vehicle around the top of that tree just enough. And I kept looking, thinking, oh, please don't let me go in the ditch. And I went around the tree. Well, I went up the hill, and here comes my neighbor to deliver 800, 900 pound bales of hay to the neighbor that lives near me on the same road. And he looked at me like, what are you doing? And so I pulled over as close as I could get again, so I didn't go into the ditch and I let him pass. But I thought, boy, I should have left at 9 o'clock because all these things are just making me crazy. But the Lord is with you and the Lord will help you. And so it worked out okay. Now, the last time I was with you and I spoke to you, I said to you, the Lord will never, ever leave us, and He will never, ever forsake us. I just want to reiterate that again to you, over and over and over again, so that you know that that is the truth of the gospel. Now, today we're talking about Samuel, and I want to tell you that there's a little bit of a backstory, a little bit of a backstory about Samuel before we talk about the readings from Samuel 3, 1 Samuel 3. The 1 Samuel starts off with talking about the birth of Samuel, but there's a backstory to this. We know that there were women in the Old Testament who were barren, and they just prayed that they would have a child. Because apparently, at that time, if you didn't have any children, you were counted as not much. And that's a bad thing. But some had wonderful husbands who were very patient with their wives and encouraged them and were with them. Now, this story starts out with this man that lives in Ramad. And at that time, the tabernacle was in Shiloh. It had not been moved down to Jerusalem. That didn't happen until David was king. So on the time that they were going up to have the blessings for the year and to have the sacrifices, this man with his wife, two wives actually, one named Hannah, and she had no children, and the other one had several children. And of course, the one that had several children needled Hannah all the time. You know, what's the matter with you? You don't have any children anyway. So it was a source of upset, but Hannah was a woman of faith. A true woman of faith, and she prayed continuously. She persevered. She laid her soul out to the Lord and begged him that he would give her a son. And she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I promise to dedicate him, to consecrate him to to this tabernacle, to do the work, to do your work, Lord. Well, it didn't happen for quite a while, but eventually Hannah did have a baby, and she named him Samuel. And the meaning of Samuel is that I asked the Lord for this child, and that's what it is. I asked the Lord, and he gave her this child. And she was such a good mother. She wanted this child so much, and she knew that she had dedicated him to service to the Lord. And so she did what she promised she would do. Now, during this time, Israel had been very bad about following the Lord. They had practically rejected God, and they were continually clamoring for a king. Now, God wanted them to accept him as not only their God, but their king. But as we know, human beings want their own way and want it in their own time. And Pastor would say, our time is not God's time, and God's time is not our time. So we know that at some point, God said, okay, you're going to get a king. Now, Samuel is the last in the line of judges, which is to him, but the first in the line of prophets. And that he knew from a very early age, when his mother brought him to the tabernacle, that that's where he was going to be, and that's what he was going to do, was the Lord's work. And the words tell us that he didn't really know the Lord, I guess intimately. He knew about what he was supposed to do in the tabernacle and the jobs that he was given. And he was so young, he was given probably menial jobs, but he did them to the best of his ability. And Eli, who was the chief priest at that time, trained him, oversaw what he was doing, and gave him a lot of encouragement so that he would do things right. Now, I just want to tell you again and again how important Hannah's prayer life was, because even when she had taken Samuel to the tabernacle, she continued to pray for him. And every year when they went up for the sacrifice, she would make him a coat, because he had outgrown that within a year, the one that he had, and give him a new coat to wear under the garments that Eli supplied for him. And she continued to pray for him, and pray that the Lord would just oversee his life, and she knew that he would. Now, the part that we are reading from 1 Samuel was about this activity that took place when Samuel was young, and he was sleeping in his bed, in his area that was given to him, and this is his first encounter with the Lord speaking to him. And the Lord spoke to him, and he called him by name, because he knows each one of us by name. You know, Samuel. And Samuel was like, I guess, probably awakened and saying, yes, yes. And then he ran down to Eli and he said, yes, Eli, I'm here. Here I am. And I guess that was, Eli was like, I didn't call you. And he said, I thought you did. And he said, no, I didn't call you. So go lay back down and go back to sleep. So then the Lord called him again, Samuel, Samuel. And what did he say to Eli? Here I am. And Eli was like, okay, but I didn't call you, so go lay back down. Third time, Samuel, Samuel, he says, here I am, Eli, here I am. And he said, no, I didn't call you. But the next time you hear that voice, say to the voice, your servant hears you. I'm listening. Here I am for you. And so what happened? Samuel laid back down and the Lord called him again. And what did Samuel say? Not to Eli, but to the Lord. Here I am. Your servant is listening. Your servant is here. And that was the beginning of his relationship with God. And I want to just say, I don't think we have heard God's voice directly, but we hear it in so many ways that maybe a friend says, have you talked to so-and-so? And you think, no, I haven't. I think the Holy Spirit is probing at us to do these things. And sometimes it crosses your mind, maybe I should make a telephone call to so-and-so. I haven't seen that person for a while. And I think that when we interact with our Christian friends, they say things to us that we know have to come directly from the Lord, because it's the words that we've heard in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, but we haven't acted on them. So sometimes that's the Holy Spirit is just moving us to do these things. So I want us to know that we can have lives like Hannah and be persistent in what the Lord wants us to do, which is to communicate with Him through prayer continually. And it tells us to pray continually, and also to be aware that the Lord is talking to us, maybe not directly, that we hear Him one-to-one, but we hear Him indirectly through other people, maybe through something we've read, maybe we get a card from somebody that says, I'm thinking of you, and you say, gosh, yeah, I've been thinking about you too. And you send a card back saying, thanks for your card, and I've been thinking about you too. I hope that you're all right. And so I think that we have to be aware that God is talking to us. And I say indirectly, I say that it takes a while, because I know He talks to me in this quiet, still voice. Well, no, I'm not a quiet, still voice person. And until the 2x4 falls and hits me, or the tree falls and I see it and I go, yes, Lord, you have my full and undivided attention. Sometimes a few of us are a little slower on the pickup. But pray that you'll just be open to listening to the Lord speaking to you and answering Him by saying, yes, Lord, here I am. Amen.